Well, thank you, Stephen. Good evening, church family. As Stephen said, my name's Paul, if I haven't met you. I want to thank the members here just for the amazing opportunity it's been to be a part of the residency and for the ways that you've graciously welcomed and served our family in the time of moving here. I hope to be of some spiritual benefit to you all, so with that, let's open up our text in Colossians, and I'll go to the Lord in prayer. Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you've been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Let's pray. Sovereign Father, Lord, we pray and ask that you open our eyes to behold the wonders of your Son. And through the testimony of your word, would he preach peace to those who are far and peace to those who are near. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, there are approximately 840,000 missing children reports in the United States every year. And while most of these are related to runaways or custodial disputes, there's a small percentage that are involved with high-risk profile cases. Stranger danger and child abductions, though usually rare, they're a serious thing. And it's why we warn our children never to accept rides from strangers. I remember growing up, my parents would always tell me, don't accept candy from a stranger, and don't ever get in a car with anyone other than a trusted adult. And I always thought that was kind of strange why a stranger would offer me candy, but the severity of the warning was always made clear. Well, brothers and sisters, this evening, in our text, the Apostle Paul issues to us a far greater warning. He cautions us to beware of being kidnapped not by criminals, but by false teaching. Now, just to remind you, the main idea of the book of Colossians is this: alive in Christ, believers grow to maturity, resist falsehood, and live transformed under his supreme and sufficient lordship. So in light of everything that Paul has said about the supremacy of Christ in the gospel, in chapter 1, he begins to shift in chapter 2 to exhorting the Colossians to walk in him. And part of the way that we continue to walk in Christ is through resisting falsehood. So here's what I believe the main idea of our passage tonight. Caution. Don't be kidnapped by counterfeit creeds, but be captivated by Christ alone. Don't be kidnapped by counterfeit creeds, but be captivated by Christ alone. So this is going to function as our outline for the remaining time, and with that, we'll jump straight into our first point. Don't be kidnapped by counterfeit creeds. Look down at verse 8. This is Paul's warning, and it's very emphatic. He says, see to it, or in other words, be on guard, beware. It's not a casual suggestion, but it's a verbal caution sign that's designed to alert the Colossians to the danger that they face. It's like some of the warning beeps we have in our cars that when we start drifting in a different lane, it warns us to start driving straight. And what's the danger here? Well, it comes from a philosophy or a teaching that threatens to kidnap the Colossians and keep them from walking in Christ. So this philosophy, it has three characteristics. One, it's according to human tradition. So it's man-made, man-centered. Two, it's according to the elemental spirits, or the elemental principles of the world. And there's a little bit of a debate about what exactly this means, but I think it's safe to say the essence of it is that it originates in the world and therefore is influenced by the lies of Satan. And we learn a little bit in verses 16 to 23 more about the false teaching. It seems to promote Jewish mystic and ascetic practices, and it does this in addition to Christ in order to truly experience God. And Paul, he notes how it even has an appearance of wisdom or godliness. But thirdly, and most importantly, whatever the exact nature of this false teaching is, it ultimately is not according to Christ. That is, these man-centered, worldly teachings, they oppose the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's the essence of all false teaching, brothers and sisters. Whenever you evaluate a worldview or a system of belief, the fundamental question that you have to ask is what they believe about Jesus. This is Jesus' own words to his disciples. Who do you say I am? You see, any teaching that adds to or subtracts from the person and work of Christ is the enemy's attempt to lead you astray. And Satan would love to take our eyes off of our glorious Lord, and he does this all the time. I mean, just consider all of the worldviews and religions of our own day, even some that we mentioned during our prayer time. I think of Mormonism and Islam that reject Christ's divinity and insist on their own ways and practices to reach God. Or materialism in our own culture that denies all moral and spiritual realities and so views Jesus just as a man. Or Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy that deny the sufficiency of his work by elevating man's participation in salvation. Or just think of the prosperity gospel teaching, the therapeutic gospel teaching, that Jesus is merely a means to a man-centered end. It's either you can have health, wealth, prosperity in this life now, or Jesus is merely a way, an answer to your felt needs or your emotional well-being. Or think about all of the self-improvement psychologies that exist today, whether it's a Jordan Peterson or a David Goggins or the well-known book by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. These philosophies, they diminish Christ by elevating and championing man's ability of moral, physical, or spiritual self-improvement. And while they do have an appearance of wisdom or godliness, they're ultimately not according to Christ. UBC, we may not be at a high risk of being kidnapped by criminals, but we are certainly at risk of being captured by these counterfeit creeds. We need to be on guard. Doctrinal error is a far greater danger than physical harm or even death, because it's an ensnarement of the soul. And though these false teachings, they promise fullness of life, Paul says that they're utterly empty in comparison with the fullness that is in Christ. And this brings us to our second point: be captivated by Christ. Paul, he grounds his warning of the false teaching in verse 9. Notice what he says: "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." This is the greatest challenge to all false teaching. Christ is God in the flesh. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, Christ is the physical embodiment of the eternal, invisible God. All of God's nature, all of his attributes dwell fully and perfectly in Christ. All of the holiness of God, all of the majesty and glory of God, the wisdom of God, the self-existence and eternality of God, the love of God. All that is in God is all that is in Christ. So much so that he could even tell his disciples that whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So why would you look anywhere else for fullness of life? Why would you look to anyone else for wisdom or truth? But Paul, he doesn't just stop there. Look down in verse 10. Notice what he says. You have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. If you have Christ, you have everything. By our union, we are filled in him. We're made complete in him. Peter tells us in 2 Peter that we partake in his divine nature. Christ is the head of all rulers and authorities. There is no power in heaven or on earth that is not under his supreme and sufficient lordship. If this one fills you, you share in his kingdom rule. But this poses a serious problem. How can it be true of sinners like you and me? I mean, we've rebelled against our Creator. We've rejected the one who is the head of creation. We've gone our own way. We deserve the fullness not of love, not of his love, but of his divine wrath. So how is it that sinners can be filled in Christ? Because this one, who is fully God, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, the one who created and upholds the universe by the word of his power, the one whose hair is white as wool, whose eyes are a burning flame of fire, whose face shines brighter than the sun. This one who for all eternity enjoyed the fullness of his Father's love, he emptied himself by becoming a slave, by taking on flesh and entering into this rebellious, broken world, by living the perfect life that you and I were supposed to live and taking on the fullness of divine wrath that was meant for you and I in hell, by dying in our place for our sin. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and raised him from the dead, never to die again, so that those who would come to him by faith would receive from his fullness grace upon grace. John 1:16. If you're here tonight and you don't know this one, firstly, friend, I'm so glad you're here. But it would be unloving for me not to tell you that apart from Christ, you are under the wrath of God. But the good news is that this Jesus offers himself to you. His life, his death, his resurrection, his fullness of grace, it can all be counted to you if you would have him. Turn from whatever you're trusting in tonight and trust in Jesus. Leave those empty promises of life. Receive him, and you will receive the fullness of life that is in him. And weary saint of UBC, are you tempted to believe that Christ isn't enough? That you need some other gimmick or some other teaching? Beloved, He who did not spare his own son, but willingly gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? In Christ, you have everything that you need. So just to conclude with some really quick application. First, brothers and sisters, let's continue to pray for the pastors and teachers of this church, that their life and doctrine will always and forever be according to Christ. Two, let's be good Bereans ourselves and search the scriptures to ensure the things that we're being taught. And three, as we heard from this morning, let's continue to pray that the faithful gospel teaching in this church moves beyond these walls to NWNA and to the nations without hindrance. Pray for these families we're sending out. Continue praying for them, because they're going to the front lines to combat these anti-Christian creeds with the gospel. So UBC, don't be kidnapped. Don't be kidnapped by counterfeit creeds. Be captivated by Christ alone. Let's pray.